Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening once again, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. Richard Lucas, that punk, he takes the summers off, and now he's taking the majority of the falls off, and he'll be back in a little while. Of course, his son, he's really going to be excited about his son being at Kansas this year, Landon. In his sophomore year, Kansas is going to be very good again this year. But in the meantime, we bring on some great coaches and some people I really enjoy and have always been very respectful of me. And at this stage of my life, that means more to me than anything. By the way, I am Greg Crawford. I host this show along with Richard Lucas. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. There's only one C there. Or at www.gregorycrawfordsport.wordpress.com. Tonight, a very special guest, Justin Lunt, the head men's basketball coach of the Puget Sound Loggers, and he is one of those people who's always shown a great deal of respect for me. And Justin, I appreciate that. And how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, Greg. It's great to be on your show, and yeah, it's getting close to the start of the year. Getting excited.
Yeah, it is. And, Justin, I've started out each of my programs, and I do a few with coaches this week. I think Oregon and Washington are probably forever joined at the hip, a little different than Oregon and, say, California or Washington and mm-hmm. Canada and everything, and certainly a major tragedy in the state of Oregon coming up on a week tomorrow, and it hits home with the sports world because a lot of us have a lot of great NWAC ties, and Umpqua Community College, strong member of the NWAC. Feel free to have the stage and your thoughts about anything you want to say about or say to the people in Roseburg and Umpqua Community College.
You know, just it was a very sad day, across the Northwest, and all of our thoughts and our prayers, go out to everyone in Roseburg and Umpqua Community College. We actually, as a team, had a long discussion about it, and, it's very, very sad, with it, we just, keep everyone in our thoughts and our prayers and, support and wish nothing but the best, with recovery and, with everything going on. So, tough day with it, the NWAC and then, just the Northwest. So, sad.
Very well said. And I appreciate you starting out like that. And I also appreciate your coaching and the job you do at Puget Sound, which, by the way, Justin, I'll have to admit, I'm not sure I've admitted when I've had you on before. I took a hard look when I was choosing colleges and universities about going to Puget Sound and didn't quite make it there, but it was serious on my mind, so I always watched them very closely, and it's a pleasure now to know you and interview you. How do you feel about your basketball team right now? You haven't been able to officially practice yet. You know what players are there, what's maybe going to transpire. How do you feel about that at this time? And you can start officially on October 15th, correct?
Right. We actually won't start till the 18th. So we won't start till that Sunday. With our the way our conference works, we have 19 weeks from our first day of practice, till our conference tournament. So we start on the Sunday. So we actually have what's really nice about our time of the year is we have what we call our fall break. So Monday and Tuesday, the 19th and the 20th, we actually have school off. So we're able to, get a great, 2 days in on Sunday, 2 days in on Monday, 2 days in on Tuesday, without classes being in the way. So it's kind of always what we've done, with the start of practice, and it's always been really, really good for us and for our guys.
tell our listeners what you feel. And I always say paper is only good to write on usually. But on paper,
right.
how do you feel about your team right now? And what's something that you think you'd be a little disappointed in if it wasn't a strength? And what's something you feel might be a weakness that you really got to get better in those few days before you open your season?
Well, I would say out of the 400-plus Division III teams in the country, I think everyone at this time of the year really, really likes their team. And I would say the same thing about our team. You know, it's just really, really excited to get out there and, you know, get practice going. And I think one of our strengths that we have is, you know, from an internal standpoint, we got great internal leadership. Just very, very proud of our guys and, you know, what they've been able to do as far as, you know, obviously there's 6 weeks from the first day they show up to school to the first day of practice. And, you know, we cannot do anything with our guys. But, you know, our internal leadership is just amazing. And our guys have done a real good job of, you know, taking the new guys in and really showing them, you know, how we do things, you know, without obviously coaches being there, but just, you know, they've been doing a great job in the weight room, you know, and just it's been really, really nice to see from an outside perspective, or not really see, but hear, but just exciting, you know, and I think that's definitely one of our strengths. I would say X and O's wise, this is one of the better teams we've had that can really attack the rim and really shoot the basketball. So we're really, really excited about that. I think, you know, as far as I wouldn't necessarily call weaknesses, but just, you know, we've got some really good newcomers that are going to be making, you know, a major impact. So getting them acclimated as quickly as possible is going to be something that we're going to need to do. So I don't know if that's necessarily a weakness. I just think that's something that we've got to really, really focus on. Getting all of our new guys up to speed and on the same page ASAP, because we know, you know, conference is early this year, starting the first week of December. We've got Warner Pacific. We actually play Augustana, who I guess in some magazine was ranked the number one Division III team in the country, or preseason ranked. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, you know, with our non-conference and need to start conference. It's going to be very important that we get, you know, our freshmen and then our transfers on the same page, you know, as soon as possible.
And you know, you kind of alluded to it and talked a little bit about it. That comes internally. You really have to have to have success nowadays in basketball. Is it fair to say, Justin, you have to have strong leadership because the coach isn't always around. But you need a lot of coaches around.
Right. Right. No, and I think you hit it right on the nose. I mean, we've got three core values that, you know, that we focus on as a program. You know, one of them's continuous improvement. The other one's program first. And then the third one is, you know, circle of control. And, you know, our guys have just done a real good job of just setting the standard. And, you know, and a lot of those things, you know, when we talk about them, we automatically just think about what happens on the basketball floor. But, I mean, I think our guys take a lot of pride in how we do things in the classroom, how we do things in the community, and just how we represent Puget Sound men's basketball. I'll tell you right now, Greg, it's a great feeling when you go home at night and leave the office and you just know that you've got a great group of young men that are taking care of business on and off the floor and representing not only the men's basketball program, but the University of Puget Sound at a very high level.
Yeah, and, you know, I always kind of, it's not said in jest, but some people take it in jest as, I work in a hospital, Justin, in a cancer unit, and is one of the jobs that I have in my life. And I always tell coaches, you ought to bring the team over to the hospital. And they say, oh, yeah, we ought to visit the hospital, visit PA. I said, no. You ought to visit there to see how you work as a team. because, you know,
right.
The margin for error in a hospital isn't real great. And you know, I think there's something to be said for, you know, it translates over to sports. How you work as a team, it's never going to get old.
It never does. And I think you hit it right on. I mean, I think there's so many things that you learn in athletics, I mean, obviously that apply to the real world, whether it's in the hospital, whether it's in, you know, the business field. I mean, whatever you're doing. I mean, I think that you know, when you start your career and whatever you decide to do, I mean, you're going to be involved in a team. You're going to have a coach, a boss. You know, you're going to have a lot of teammates, business people with you that are, you know, are all in for the, you know, a common goal. So I think, you know, there's so many valuable lessons that, you know, our student athletes, you know, learn from athletics that really help set them up for the next 40 years of their life. And, you know, that they're able to apply on an everyday basis when they hit the real world.
Justin, it's kind of something we all chuckle a little bit about, but it's a serious subject. The coaches, for the most part, in the Northwest Conference, of which Puget Sound is a great member, they just don't change in men's basketball. Very few changes.
Right.
Probably there's pluses and minuses to that, in that they're all very good coaches, but at times you know a little bit more about what they might do than brand new bunch of coaches, like, you know, like facing the GNAC this year, which is, I think, going to have 5 out of the 10 coaches are new.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about it is you really start to grow to like those guys. You know, I mean, you guys are supposed to be competitors, and, you know, with the league not changing over with coaches, you start really growing friendships, and part of that, most of that was just being sarcastic. But, I mean, it's true. I mean, you get to know their tendencies. But, you know, the one thing I will say about the coaches in our conference, which I've mentioned before, I just think – they're very adaptable, and I think you have to be at this level, you know, and, you know, what, you know, Willamette, Lewis and Clark Pacific are running or ran last year, they might be running something completely different this year. I mean, you know, so that's what makes them great coaches, and that's, you know, why they've had, why a lot of our coaches in our conference had so much longevity, is just because they're great coaches, and they get their teams prepared for, you know, what their strengths are, and try to eliminate their weaknesses as much as possible. So, you know, I've told you this many times. I just think that we've got an amazing, you know, group of coaches in the Northwest Conference that really, really do an excellent job getting their teams ready to play night in and night out. Very impressive.
You know, speaking of getting your teams ready to play, Justin, I think our listeners enjoy, they always tell me they enjoy so much hearing you on the air, and I do too, interviewing you. And how do you handle practice? I'd like to know, and I'm asking kind of a two-part question. Do you kind of have minimum practice time, maximum practice time? I only bring that up because a lot of people, including you, have heard of the great Ted Wilson, where I went to school at Linfield. He was kind of famous on Sundays at times for his six-hour practices. Nobody does that now, but anyway, minimum, maximum, and do you really know when you and your staff, when you walk off that floor, if you've had a good, average, or bad practice?
Well, you know, it's a great practice question. I mean, you know, it's funny. You know, when we meet with our guys and we talk with our guys, you know, preseason wise, before, and, you know, we'll have this meeting, you know, the first day of practice, just talking about, you know, how practice works and structure. You know, we're going to have a minimum time on there, you know, so if we've got it planned from, you know, let's say 4 to 6 p.m., but if we're not getting it done, we're going to do it until we get it done the right way. So, you know, as far as schedule goes, you know, we could go 2.5. I don't think we've gotten to Coach Wilson's stage of 6 hours, but, you know, we're going to, you know, our goal, and I think you hit it right on the nose, when we leave as a coaching staff, we don't want to leave thinking we had a bad practice. If we need to keep going, or if we're just not getting it done and we just need to get some conditioning in, then that's what we're going to do. But, you know, very rarely are we leaving, practice as a coaching staff going, well, we had a bad practice. Because at worst, it's going to be, well, hey, we got a lot of great conditioning in. So that means we put the basketballs away and we just ran for 2 hours, if that's what's going to happen. Now, that very rarely happens, but at least we knew we got some good conditioning in.
Very good. Let me ask you this question, and it might sound like a weak question, and I wouldn't mind if people thought it was a weak question, but is it safe to say that the biggest rival overall of Puget Sound is Pacific Lutheran?
I would say it's got the longest history as far as it goes. But I think since I've been, at Puget Sound, I think the biggest rivalry we've had is, with the W's, Whitworth, and now, since, Coach Bridgeland's been at Whitman, I think that's been, the biggest rivalries. I mean, get conference championships, since I've been here, which is, now going on 10 years as a head coach and then 13 as an assistant. There's only been, three schools, and that's been, Whitworth, us, and then I know Lewis and Clark won it or they were co-champions with Whitworth 1 year. As far as rivalry goes, I mean, I think that that's, Those have become the rivalry games in my tenure at Puget Sound. But it's, they're two Tacoma schools. I mean, it goes way past my time, back in 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, when that was a big time rivalry. So it's always going to be a rival game. It's always going to be talked about that way. But I do feel that, the W's with Whitworth and Whitman has been just as much of a rivalry game since I've been, at Puget Sound.
Very good. Let me ask you this, Justin. I guess this is a question I'm a little bit prejudiced on, but and it's a little controversial, but I know you'll give me a candid answer, as you always do. I'm a little disappointed this year, and I think maybe it's probably still going to happen, that the Northwest Conference went to the Division I timeout rules of where you take a timeout under 16, 12, 8, and 4. As far as I know, that's still in place, because one of the great things about the Northwest Conference was kind of the less timeouts and the flow of the game. What are your thoughts on that? And am I correct? Is that going to be in place, that timeout rule?
Yeah, I mean they're all moving to that. It's what they're calling it is the media timeout. So they're all trying to go to a general media timeout, basis. And there's a lot of teams in our conference that do a lot of advertising and like, for instance, before it was made official with NCAA, we'd go over to Whitworth, and a lot of their games would be on TV, and it would be, it would follow that format, and then, they'd come play at our gym, and it was, 8 and 12 medias or no medias. So the one thing I will say about it is I do like the fact that there's consistency. So you know what you're going to get every single time, you play on the road, which I think is good for our athletes. I mean, there's a lot of times where, we can prepare, okay, well, there might be this format, but then it ends up being another format. So I think the positive thing, with the NCAA and what they're trying to do is they're just trying to make it consistent, which, I think is fair and good for our student athletes, knowing, what the format's going to be every night with every game. So there's really no kind of things that catch them off guard, which I think is, a good thing. But, we have not had media timeouts, at our place. I've liked the flow of that. But there's there's a give and take here, Greg, and I think that as long as we can get consistency throughout, you know, each home and away event, I think we'll be, you know, overall a good thing, you know, for our league.
And I guess the one thing I'll throw in, I kind of look at it as one of my objectives of interviewing so many coaches is not only good entertainment, but trying to promote the game. And I'm still not in favor of it. I won't ever be, because I think it was a uniqueness to Division III not to have it in every place. And also, it gets people home a little bit earlier. The games are going to be a little longer, let's face it.
You know what's funny is some officials talk, it's obviously a big thing, and I think that they were breaking down the average times, and from what they're telling us, it doesn't seem like it's going to add that much, you know, more.
Justin, we're losing you a little bit here.
Greg?
Yes, Greg? Yes, you're here now. We're losing. You're breaking up a little bit. If you might adjust a little bit, so we want to hear your thoughts.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Thank
you. Okay. Sorry about that. But you know, I think that from what the officials are telling us that. The lag time, you know, as far as, you know, getting out late in games, it's not going to be that big of a difference. So, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, I've got confidence, you know, that it'll all work out for the best. I mean, the one thing I will say, which is great about our conference, is we did make the adjustment from, you know, Friday night games being 8 and then moving our Saturday night games to 6 p.m., which I think is great for, you know, families and spectators and also my kids to be able to come out to games. So not having games, you know, 8 to 8 back-to-back nights, which is very nice.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. 8 o'clock starting time is just too late, period. And no one will ever convince me it's not. And I wanted to ask you, Justin, about not about the timing, but a definite rule change that I have been lobbying for 25 years and finally come to pass, where a team plays great defense in the backcourt and then a team can call timeout. They got 1 second to bring it across, and then they got a full 10 again. That's not going to happen any longer.
Nope.
Is that going to change your style a little bit of maybe putting a little more pressure on in the backcourt?
Well, I think there's a few. I think there's three rules that come into play when you think about that one. I think that one's a big one. I think the close guard 5 seconds is, you know, I mean, obviously that's out, and then the 30-second shot clock. You know, so I think all those kind of work hand in hand. I mean, I really think that, you know, for how we play, which is, you know, we've been a pressure team. We've been a team, you know, that's want to try to get teams to, you know, reverse the ball, slow the ball down, bring the ball up the floor. You know, and we've had a lot of opportunities where we've been so close to, you know, a 10-second count, and then there's a timeout called, you know, where now if that timeout's called, we still have a chance of, you know, Greg, it was funny. I was talking to, we run a fall league at Puget Sound, and we've got 20 varsity high school teams in our fall league. So all, you know, all the really good teams, you know, in Tacoma area, you know, and one of our officials that actually does our games was observing some high school officials. And, you know, we were talking about it and just talking about how, I mean, I think he said 23 rule changes across college basketball, which is just, you know, amazing. But he was very positive about everything. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I think if you take a look at the men's game, you know, we've made a lot of changes. But if you take a look at the women's game, I mean, it's a completely different game now, you know, with 4 quarters and, you know, how their whole format is. I mean, it's just everything is starting to point towards having consistency from, you know, the FIBA to the NBA to, you know, to high school. I mean, if you really think about it, the only level that has two halves is college. I mean, there's four periods in high school. There's four periods, you know, in the NBA. There's four periods in the, you know, FIBA. And then, you know, there's only two halves in the NCAA, which makes us unique. But I think, you know, from what I'm hearing is it's just everything's starting to move towards generalization and going that way. So I think a lot of that has to do with the rule changes. And it's an interesting time in college basketball right now when you start really dissecting all the rule changes and how everything's, you know, what everything's moving towards.
No question. You know, speaking about moving towards that, I was talking to somebody today. We're kind of planning out our schedules like we do. I'm planning to see 150 college basketball games this year, live and in person, start to finish, and I'll be able to do it. And I like doing that. One of them is going to be when you play Warner Pacific down here. And Justin, I wanted to ask you, of course, you always make the trip down to play Lewis and Clark, but Portland, Oregon, where I was born and where I live, is the third fastest growing city in the United States. And you're exposed to great community up there, the Seattle-Tacoma region. But I imagine that's important to you to come down to Portland and have a non-conference game and kind of expose your team to what is really becoming a rapidly growing city. Won't be on the level of Seattle yet, but it's fast approaching it.
You know, and I think you hit it right on the nose, Greg. I mean, I think it's really fast approaching it. I mean, I think it's I love Portland, and it's always been one of those places that off-season-wise, you know, my wife and my two kids, we've, you know, taken the train down and, you know, spent, you know, a day and a half in Portland, and, you know, and it's always been a really, you know, great city for us to visit and you know, seeing it, just the growth is amazing. But, you know, November 16th, first game of the year, you know, we get to play the Warner Pacific Knights, and, you know, obviously they're very well coached and they're a great team and they're going to be a very good team this year. And it's a great opportunity for us to, you know, kick off our season playing against great competition and, you know, really getting to feel for, you know, where we're at and what we need to get better at. I mean, you know, I think when you play a top tier team like that, especially your first game of the year, it's, you know, it's the beginning, it's not the end. So it's a great time for you to really see where you're at and you know, they're going to exploit a lot of things that we need to really get better at. And that's what's going to, you know, help us out as, you know, the other 24 games, you know, come along. So I'm excited. You know, I know we played a great game versus them this past year, you know, at our place, and they really helped us get better, you know, and anytime you can play a team like that, that's going to help prepare you is always a great opportunity. You know, and Coach Valentine's just a class act guy, and he does it the right way. And, you know, we're excited to get down there and, you know, take on, you know, their great team and get better.
It's a game I'm definitely got on my schedule penciled in for a long time. Another thing I penciled in is to have Justin Lunn on often on all the radio programs I do, and that's a given. And we'll have you back on very shortly again, Justin. Great job tonight. Best to the Loggers. Best to them every game they play except against the Wildcats. And I think anyone that knows the Northwest Conference know what I mean there.
Yep, exactly, Greg. We do. Well, hey, I appreciate you having us on. And, you know, next time we talk, I'll have a much better feel for – you know, where we're at, and looking forward to seeing you on November 16th.
That sounds terrific, Justin. Great job tonight. Terrific job. I asked you a lot of different questions, a lot of different subjects. You answered them all so eloquently, as I would expect. And we'll talk to you soon. Good night, listeners. And don't forget to make your free throws, and good night to the Puget Sound community. Appreciate the support of this program. And everybody,
right,
have a great week.